back now with the best of Montana Talks.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. This is Montana Talks. Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint. As we head into the third hour, the worst of the first 2 hours was me filibustering during the 6 o'clock hour. Great information from Matt Robertson. This last hour about commercial investments and what we've seen. And now I'm fortunate to have another great friend of mine and mentor, Ty Elkin, in with Allied Investment Advisors. Talk about the stock market. We talked about property and real estate investments and those types of things this last hour. So now we're going to talk about the stock market for this hour and some of the things that that Ty has seen. So, Ty, why don't you tell the listeners who you're with and kind of where you're coming from.
We'll do, yeah, first of all, happy day after Christmas.
Sorry. Yeah, Merry Christmas, bud.
And to those listening, I don't know if my wife is listening yet. She's a driver's ed teacher, and I told her I'd say hello to her and the kids. So hello, Heather and the kids, if you're in the vehicle listening to Scott and I now. Again, I'm Ty Elkin. I work at Allied Investment Advisors. Spent 20 plus years of my career in the banking business, in community banking, and then decided to change careers and have been with Allied Investment Advisors now for 3.5 years. Frankly, Scott, I feel pretty blessed. I think if you look at the markets over the last 3 years, the markets have averaged double-digit returns every year that I've been there.
It's a great time.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe there's something to me being in the industry.
Yeah,
It's been a remarkable time to be part of it.
Yeah, so, Ty, as we go into this, one of the things that I'm always curious about is, you know, biggest surprise. And we've got a quick minute here before we got to take a break, but what was your biggest surprise in 2025?
You know, honestly, for me, the continued leadership probably by the Magnificent Seven. I think that I think we anticipated there'd be a bit of more of a broadening of the market, but the leadership for really the last 3 years has stayed centered around really the AI technology move, particularly seven different technology stocks. So that was a surprise to us. It will be a continued debate moving forward as to whether or not that leadership can continue. But frankly, also on the good part of that surprise is what it's doing for all the rest of the industries of the market. You know, they talk about the other 493, but frankly, the rest of them are really benefiting from what's happening on the AI side.
Yeah, yeah. AI is came at us so fast, and maybe for those in the tech industry, it is not the surprise, and that wasn't surprising to them. But for the rest of us dirt kickers out here in the tundra, myself being chief among them, yeah, I scoffed at that until I realized, like, holy cow, we have got to latch onto it in our industry in civil engineering and utilize that. So I'm going to be interested to dig deeper into that. We've got Ty Elkin in with us for the next hour with Allied Investment Advisors, and we're going to talk about what happened this last year and what we're excited about going into 2026. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Montana Talks.
I'm Evan Brown. The new year is coming, and so are some new rules and laws about firearms, especially in states where gun control is on the agenda. Illinois' new law coming on the books on January 1st is one that could seriously impact families. The Illinois Safe Gun Storage Act requires firearms in the home be locked up when minors, even older teens, are present in the home, unless the owner of the firearm is carrying it on their person, again within their home. While its supporters, like Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who signed it, say it will increase safety for children, the law's detractors say it leaves open the possibility that a minor or even an at-risk adult who enters the home could make the gun-possessing homeowner non-compliant without even knowing. And violations of this Illinois law could cost a gun owner $10,000 in fines. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Oh.
hold your phone calls for today. You're listening to a best of Montana Talks.
To Montana, here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back. This is Scott Aspenwater sitting in for the great Aaron Flint. I still have not driven this thing into the ditch, and we're in hour three. So, back in studio with Ty Elkin with Allied Investment Advisors, and I'm fortunate to have him in to talk about the markets, the investment markets, and where what we've seen in the stock markets. So, Ty, as we look back at 2025, what are the big takeaways from this last year that you saw?
Well, you know, first of all, unless we have a big change over the next week or so, Scott, we're going to see another year of 16-17% returns in the S&P, and which follows up about the same as what we had in the previous year. You look at the start of the year, the first quarter was relatively stable, and then we had, you know, the tariff cliff, which I think nobody, not that we didn't see it coming, we anticipated that we were going to see some of that, but probably didn't anticipate the really the volume of it,
the veracity.
I think that more than anything, from it, of course, you can't measure it from an economic standpoint in a time frame like that. It's just too short, and we may not know all the benefits of that for years to come. But from a mental standpoint, the markets reacted as you would expect. It's usually surprises that change the market like that, and kind of fell off the cliff. But came back relatively quickly. Really, by the end of the second quarter, we were back to where we had ended the first quarter, and then had great strength in the market moving forward. We did see a bit of a broadening in terms of where we were seeing leadership in the market in some areas. We talked earlier that AI and technology continue to lead the market, again, that is likely going to continue to happen. But we also saw, we saw the overseas markets have their best year this year. Overseas markets are up almost 30%, in some cases maybe a bit higher depending on how you're measuring them. We haven't seen that in many, many years.
What do you think that's attributed to, especially after we whacked the tariff pinata pretty hard in Q2? I mean, the overseas markets are, I'm a juvenile when it comes to this type of stuff anyway, but the overseas markets are kind of ambiguous to me. Like, I don't always get how that plays. But what do you kind of attribute the strength of the overseas markets to over this last year?
Well, number one, I think it was years of them trailing, and at some point you recognize that you can now buy them at valuations that hadn't been seen and were very attractive, especially when you compare them to the valuations we are seeing in our market. Our price earnings valuations are in the mid 20s now on average in the S&P 500, and there was extreme value to be found in the overseas markets. I think the interest rate climates in all of those markets, we saw an easing in monetary policy in those markets, similar to what we started to see here, which made them more attractive, and really just probably more of a complement to what people have in their own portfolio and getting more diversification.
Yeah.
And as we saw our valuations go up, you start to have overexposure to just our markets, and adding some allocation to the European and worldwide side.
Yeah.
Just makes sense.
Sure. Absolutely. And so as we bring it back into the domestic markets, ag is not always the sexiest market that we talk about, but ag is also one of the fundamental and core markets of the United States of America, and always has been, and always will continue to be. What did you see in the ag markets in 2025?
Scott, I'll talk maybe specific to Allied portfolio and maybe a bit of just on the commodities side, but our portfolio, as an example, I think you and I have talked about in the past, we always have exposure to Caterpillar and John Deere. It resonates in our community as well. But if you look at what's happening on the industrial side on a worldwide standpoint, agriculture is not going anywhere. It's a staple of of really the economy of every country that we have. We saw a very interesting, I think, on the commodity side. We continue to see increased prices in cattle, and seeing just the opposite in wheats and grains. And Trump is working hard to help those industries.
But
I think it's a very difficult market to understand. The fact that you mentioned that you don't understand them, I say I'm probably right along with you.
So, yeah.
I also have a hard time understanding what's happening on the gold and silver side.
Yeah.
We've seen those race up to record levels, and why that's happening right now, especially when we see such strength in the stock market and strength in the U.S. economy, to see people continue to buy into what's supposed to be safety at those levels. It's really unique and an interesting conundrum, to be honest with you.
A lot of people I feel like are hedging their bets about some kind of crash that they think is coming, and I think the tariff, this is my novice view on that, I think the whole tariff spike and crash and rebound accentuated that for those who are firm believers in gold, silver. That volatility in the marketplace is something that stock markets are always going to be somewhat volatile, but that gold and silver market for some folks, they are just a firm believer that is core to security for their own families and their own financial investments, and there's probably some reality to that, but here's an engineer trying to talk to a financial guy about financial security. We're going to take another quick break here, and then we're going to come back with Ty Elkin in just a second. This is Montana Talks.
Stay with us for more Best of Montana Talks.
Securing America.
Last January 1st, 14 people were killed in the New Orleans terror attack when the suspect drove a rented pickup truck through a crowd on Bourbon Street. This year, security in New Orleans is beefed up. Colin Arnold, the director of the New Orleans Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, says there will be approximately 800 law enforcement personnel in the French Quarter who will also have extra help.
Federal partners stepping up with more personnel and law enforcement resources.
For example,
Coast Guard providing aviation support, patrol boats.
New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell also says that National Guard troops now in the city
are expected to be in our city and in partnership with the city through Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras culminates with Fat Tuesday, February 17th. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. This is Montana Talks. You got Scott Aspenlighter this morning driving the ship, and I'm excited to have my good friend Ty Elkin in with me. The last segment we were talking about kind of a 2025 look back and what we've seen in 2025, what Ty's perspective on what we experienced in 2025. One of the things that we didn't talk about, Ty, was the adjustments in interest rates. We held firm on that in the first half of the year, and now the last couple Fed meetings, we've seen some incremental reductions in interest rate. And last time you and I were on earlier this year, we were talking about the Fed balancing inflation and the job market with interest rates, and so now we've started to see that reduction again. Whether that's pressure by the president in driving that down and relenting on that or what, we're seeing it. So what have you seen in these interest rate reductions here over the last couple months impacting the markets?
Yeah, it's been interesting, Scott. They've been probably some of the more heavily debated interest rate moves than we've seen in a number of years. Mm-hmm. They're coming at a time where, in general, the economy is humming along as good as it ever has.
Mm-hmm.
We still continue to see a bit of sticky inflation, and we're really not seeing We're not seeing continued increases, but the Fed mandate or the Fed goal is to have inflation run at 2%, and it hasn't run at 2% for a number of years, maybe inching closer towards that now. But it's been somewhere between 3 and 4 here for the last 12 months, maybe a bit longer. And the labor markets are I think if there's an area of concern, it's probably in the labor markets.
Yeah.
We're still, our jobless rate is still below historical averages, but it just has a general feel that perhaps there's trouble coming there. And then we had a time with the government shutdown where we really couldn't get our numbers. So I think you kind of add all that together, and it's a bit of a juggling act as to what the next steps are. But an easing monetary policy typically helps the consumer, typically helps at the corporate level too. Lower interest rates helps. So an easing monetary policy like we saw in 2025 does provide a bit of a tailwind to earnings and to the markets. So it was, I think we in general, our company, Allied, I think we would have been in favor of lowering rates, but you could also make the argument that we were seeing earnings and of national health, a national economy that was okay there. As you look forward, we still would expect to see some general easing in monetary policy. Some of that will be driven by who the new
Fed chair is.
Trump's got, I think, anywhere from 2 to 5 guys that he is anxious to move somebody into that. But frankly, I do think that we all should be pushing for independence between the president and the Fed chair. I think it's a good thing that Trump is putting the time into it that he is. But I also do hope that there's independence there.
Yeah.
I think that's important for many reasons.
Yeah, it's interesting as we talk about interest rates and the impact. I mean, when Matt Roberson was on this last hour, that was one of the things that he noted a lot, was easing in monetary policy and a reduction in interest rates are really starting to trigger the investment market again in the commercial assets, and you're starting to see growth in the transport industries, and you're starting to see some more expanded growth in retail, with retailers coming into these tertiary markets like Montana. How do you square that up? Because you spent 20 years of your career in banking, and you played in all of those deals. Good interest rates, bad interest rates, you saw the gamut of that in your banking career. How do you translate that investment in commercial real estate into the stock market as well? How do those two things play with each other?
Well, I think it's all healthy, number one, Scott. And really, I think the way to look at that is the importance of diversity and allocations of your investments. Think about in our Allied portfolio this year, we added a real estate investment trust to our portfolio because we saw lowering interest rates, which typically would help that market. So our clients, if they're just in the stock market, we're going to start to expose them in our own portfolio to commercial real estate, just like Matt would have spoke to you about.
Yep.
But also, we have a lot of clients that when they look at their diversified investments, it includes equities, it includes bonds, and it includes commercial real estate or rental properties. Mm-hmm. So frankly, I think having health in all of those sectors, or having areas of where we think now there's maybe some opportunity, I think it's a really good thing for everybody.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's easy to get lost in the news stories about Fed monetary policy and are we lowering the interest rates or are we not, and get lost in that in our day to day, and not think about that as it relates to your investment portfolio and what that looks like. And that's why guys like you do the things that you do and advise clients and help people navigate those markets to make sure that, my day job isn't to watch the stock market. I can't do that. I can't understand it anyway. My day job is to go to make money and to make sure I put it in a place with somebody that's paying attention to that. So from that perspective, I think it's interesting to hear from you what you're seeing on the investment side from an interest rate and how that's impacting the market. And when we look into next year, where are you seeing some opportunities for growth that maybe weren't there in 2025?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit earlier about the broadening of the market, and by that we're referring to broadening the leadership in terms of where returns are coming from in the stock market. And if you look at it from a sector by sector standpoint, technology by far has led the market. If you look at sectors like consumer staples and healthcare, which are, you know, kind of typically lower growth, but have been very strong sectors historically, they really have not participated in the market gains over the last couple of years. And as a result, they're at really attractive valuations now. So, you know, we think this is a time, especially as you get to year end and start to look into where things are moving. This is a time that maybe you look at your allocation to different sectors, still have exposure to technology, but maybe trim some and look at those sectors like industrials, consumer staples, healthcare, where there's really value to be found. We're doing that with our clients, but I think it's just a time for like anybody to say, it's not necessarily hit the reset, but let's make sure we're paying attention and thinking about it, and being thoughtful about how do I allocate and make sure that I have really good broad exposure to the markets, but not an over-reliance on any one industry.
Yeah.
And I say that, Scott, probably more so for those that are, a bit closer to retirement or possibly in retirement, those younger listeners, those in their 40s that have so much time in front of them. You don't really have to be overly active in how you're looking at your investments because you just have so much time in front of you. So I'm really kind of more speaking to those that are a bit closer to, you know, where they're going to start relying on their investments for
sure.
Their livelihood.
With, on the national stage again, we're having these conversations, and the whole government shutdown was about healthcare. And the Obamacare subsidies and those types of things. Have you seen that conversation impact those healthcare staples in the marketplace? And what have you seen?
Oh, I think it has, and I think that's part of why we haven't seen growth in those areas. But part of what's so attractive about healthcare right now is you look at, we are an aging population.
For sure.
And as we age, that industry just has to grow with the growing population. So we think there's still opportunity there. But also it's a bit of a hedge as well. If we do see a bit of a pullback, or should we see some sort of a slowing in our economy, we do know that on the healthcare side and consumer staples, those are areas that they hold up very well. So as people come out of technology and look for other areas to hedge, we could see an inverse relationship there. So I think that's why this is a time to consider exposures to those areas. Just as we go into year four of the market being so strong, certainly we think the markets, we don't think that there's any indication that the market's in trouble by any means, but we do think it's a time that you'd be thoughtful about how you're structuring your portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good segue into the IT sector and the IT space, and we got 60 seconds here before we take another break, and we'll carry this one over. But IT and the tech sectors they seem to be forging, just blazing into the same thing that we saw with the dot-com era in the 90s and early 2000s. And do you think we're going to keep that pace, not just for 2026, but going forward?
I think it will be difficult to keep that long term. At some point, I think we will start to find who those market leaders are. Right now, we have pop-ups coming up, new ideas, new technology, and then they tend to get gobbled up by one of the larger ones. It's hard to really find out who the leaders are going to be. So I just don't think it'll be quite as broad.
Yeah.
But certainly, it's here to stay from a sector standpoint.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to lean into that IT space and what we're seeing on that front. This is Montana Talks. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more of the Best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today. You're listening to a Best of Montana Talks.
Welcome back. This is Montana Talks. Scott Aspenlighter sitting in for Aaron Flint, and I got my good friend and mentor Ty Elkin in studio with me. And we've been talking about just the markets, the investment markets and the stock markets here last year and looking into this year. But we're also in a situation here, I think, in which I've got a full blown young staff, and you guys manage our portfolio for our guys and our manager 401k for our business. And it's always an interesting conversation. Even I hire a bunch of civil engineers, they come out educated, but we also always have to have that conversation with them about, hey, don't be a dummy, invest in your 401k. We're going to match, but you need to be investing in your 401k, and here is the why behind that. So you brought up a good question when we were out on break about, you know, that conversation about why, whether it be with the 20-something just starting his career or the person towards the end of their career and diversifying and investing in the market. So, you know, Ty, when people ask you why, how do you walk them through the why and getting invested.
Yeah, well, it's I appreciate that we're talking about this, Scott, and we do spend a lot of time, particularly on the 401k side, in just direct education with, you know, mass audiences. And a lot of times that mass audience is a younger, just into the workforce type audience who hasn't really understood what time in the market over time really can do to you and for you, I should say, rather than do to you. Those that start participating in a company sponsored in a retirement plan over a 30 or 40 year term, it's incredible the wealth that can be built through that, but also not just incredible, but also very important. You know, when you look at what inflation is today, whether it's 2% or 4%, it is getting more and more expensive just to go to the grocery store. That's a fact. We had 9% inflation not long ago, you know, in the last part of Biden's term, but we haven't come back down from that. We've just added 2 to 3%. From that, so we know that it's getting more expensive to live. Matt probably just spent time talking about what's happening in the rental markets, and it's getting more expensive to buy homes. It's getting more expensive to rent apartments. So, you know, the importance of investing into something that can provide returns above and beyond the 3 to 4% inflation rate itself is just it's very important as a means of saying, how am I going to someday retire? We do have a Social Security system that probably at best we could describe as a bit fragile. Certainly don't think
it's unfunded.
Yeah, certainly don't think it's going away, but changes are coming in some form or fashion. We continue to push out what full retirement age is. It's now 67, where you really kind of hit that sweet spot in Social Security. Likely that as part of the fix is going to get pushed out, which either forces you to work longer or rely on investments if you want to retire. So there's just lots of reasons for people to start thinking about, hey, how do I start putting some money away so that I can put myself in a position to be dependent on, in part, what I've put away? And the beauty of it all is, in most cases, the company that you're working for is going to match or put some of those dollars in. So it's such an important vehicle to take advantage of, understand, talk to your employer about, and make sure that you're putting yourself first when it comes to what am I putting away to prepare for myself when it's time for me to retire.
Yeah, and one of the things, so on a positive note, I think I've been recruiting at colleges for 20 years, trying to hire engineers for the company I used to work for, or my own now, Craig and I's now. One of the things that seems like becomes more and more of a question, and it's certainly a box you have to check as an employer that didn't necessarily used to be there 20 years ago, is kids are asking about, what's your 401k and what's your 401k contribution. That's not every kid, but more and more kids are asking about what your benefits package is, including what your 401k is, and wanting to know what that is. Now, colleges do a terrible job in educating those young professionals, whether you're going to be a teacher or a doctor or a nurse or an engineer or, an electrician, about what it means to invest. Like, we have absolutely no financial literacy taught to us going through college. But it's becoming more of a norm, I think, certainly in our industry, to have a standardized 401k with a company safe harbor match into that 401k. And I'm encouraged that kids are at least asking the question about that. Now, like I said, we also have to then have that follow-up conversation once they get onboarded and once they come on board and they have the opportunity to start investing, to make sure that they are actually investing what they can. Because it's hard. It's hard for, kid coming out of college making $65,000 a year, renting a place with rent going up, and then seeing grocery prices go up, and they're going to get a paycheck. And it's going to be the biggest paycheck they've ever had in their life in most instances. And they want to hold on to it. And they want to go spend it on the things that they want to go buy. It's hard to have that conversation with them about, hey, maybe put that new car off for 6 months and build up slow to go buy it and start investing in your 401k. But that's a conversation as employers I think we are obligated to have, to make sure that we're taking care of our people.
Yeah.
One of the things I've really appreciated about working with Allied is your team's willingness to come in and have that conversation with our people with us.
Yeah.
Craig is wicked smart, and he understands all that stuff. I am not. So Craig can speak to it, but it's different when you bring in a professional and be able to have that conversation and discussion. When you've talked about that, can you pull from your memory a conversation where you saw the light bulb come on and the gratitude that you felt or the achievement that you felt in just helping people get started down that road?
Yeah, I don't know if I could pull one out, Scott, but certainly I would say those are highlights of our time, and what we do in our work is when you start to see those light bulbs go off. And I'll just real quickly just speak to your own company. When we started working with you, with your company, I think you guys had nearly maybe a 50% participation rate in your company-sponsored retirement plan because of your leadership and Craig's leadership, and maybe Craig more in particular. As you mentioned, Craig, that's an area that Craig spends more time in his responsibilities with your company. You're now at 100%. I think that's in part because you guys have provided great leadership, but in part also because you've now put a plan in place that would be competitive with anybody else in your industry. And I think that's what we're seeing now. You mentioned financial literacy, I think, is something that we continue to struggle with. But financial awareness is something that's very prevalent. We have a very competitive job market. And those kids that are out moving into the workforce, whether they know what they're hearing or not, they are hearing company-sponsored retirement plan. Yep. They're hearing 401k. They are hearing 403b if they're going into the healthcare sector. So they're able to ask the questions now that maybe they weren't asking 10 years ago. So the response that we're seeing from the employer is, hey, I need to make sure that we're competitive in this part of it. And frankly, that's helped our business. Companies like yourself that say, hey, we need to make sure that we're competitive and we're investing in this piece of our business platform has been great, provided great opportunity for us at Allied.
Yeah, and I think that if you were able to pull Craig aside and ask him about the one thing that he's most proud about, as we've started a company and built our business, it's that. It's that 100% participation in the 401k plan. It's teaching our employees about investments and financial security. You know, we have them for 40 hours a week or 45 hours a week, and they do great work, and we love them, all of them. But part of our job is not just to provide a job and a paycheck. We take our role as business owners more serious in that we need to make sure that we're providing a future with us and beyond us for our employees. And I think that's one of the most important things. And it's one of the biggest successes we've had, and we appreciate Allied's help in that. We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to take the last 5 minutes. Ty and I are rabid Montana State Bobcat fans, and we're going to talk about Bobcat football. So if you're from Missoula and you're a Grizz fan, maybe turn the radio off for five minutes, but we'll be right back. This is Montana Talks.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
By the way, I got to give props to John Fetterman. He actually said it is an absolute betrayal for Israel, for the worldwide Jewish community, about empowering Hamas. He said whether it's France, Australia, any of these nations, our Western allies, calling for a two-state solution when Hamas refuses to disarm, are actively trying to kill Jews. I can't imagine why anybody would do that at this point. He also criticized Democrats for embracing what he called openly hostile anti-Israel rhetoric, saying it's now become a more and more part of my party's platform. And he says, I just can't imagine why so many people continue to back away or kind of deflect condemning these horrific acts of terrorism.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you ever thought about upgrading your window treatments but didn't want the hassle, our friends at Blinds.com are here to change the game. They are the only company that lets you shop for custom blinds and shades online. You just go to Blinds.com. You can skip the stress. Blinds.com makes it easy to get that designer look without that showroom markup. Now, you get the same quality, the same service you would at other high-end stores, but you get it at a fraction of the price. Now, samples, they'll send them to your door directly. Now, more than just blinds, Blinds.com carries everything from bamboo shades to shutters, outdoor shades for your patio, and much, much more. All Blinds.com orders are back with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, Blinds.com is giving you, my listeners, an exclusive $50 off offer when you spend $500 or more. Just use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, when you check out. It's a limited time offer. Just go to Blinds.com for details.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino.
We need more peace, love, and care.
For New Year's Eve, every big country fan knows that the country stars are all gathering at New Year's Eve Live, Nashville's Big Bash, airing on CBS and Paramount Plus. Jason Aldean, Bailey Zimmerman, and Lainey Wilson are headlining the five-hour show. It also features sets from Keith Urban, Brooks and Dunn, Dierks Bentley, Rascal Flatts, Riley Green, Megan Maroney, Zach Top, and more. Miranda Lambert is mourning her beloved Chihuahua. The country singer shared a collection of photos and videos on Instagram showing her holding her dog Cher, taken throughout the years, including one with Lambert holding Cher at the ACM Awards. Lambert writing in part, Cher gave us 15 years of love and all the Chihuahua attitude and energy she had to give. And if you've ever had a Chi-Chi, you know what I mean. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Welcome back. This is Scott Aspinler sitting in for Aaron Flint, and I got my good friend and fellow Bobcat, Ty Elkin, in the studio, and this is where we're going to spend 5 minutes talking about how great the Bobcats are. We hijacked Aaron's show, Aaron being a dirty grizzly, but we're going to talk about the Bobcats now. Ty, you actually went down and watched last week's game. Is that right?
It was, yeah. And we decided just about midway through the fourth quarter when we felt strongly that we were going to win, that our Christmas, we just figured out what our Christmas present to each other was going to be, and that was going to be a trip to Nashville. So actually started working on it while we were still in the stands before the game got over, Scott, and I cannot wait to get down there.
Yeah, we did the same. We actually bought plane tickets preemptive to that game, which I hated doing. My wife Heather did that, and God bless her for doing that. I was nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs going into that second matchup with the Grizz. They were playing phenomenal. We were playing okay. We were playing good enough to win. We were never in trouble in any of the playoff games. But we just didn't come out and finish anybody, I didn't feel like. And when they went up 20, they rattled off 20 straight points and went up 23-20. Woof.
Yeah.
Man, I was feeling the freight train coming rolling down the tracks, and I didn't know what to think.
Yeah, I tell you, Taco's 87-yard touchdown for me is the most memorable touchdown I can remember actually being at a stadium and seeing. Most memorable play I've seen. We actually went up there to the game with his aunt, Steph McGowan, and she treats those two boys as if they're her own children. So maybe there was something about, you know, that emotional feeling for us, but it was just and then it just seemed like the game just went from there. But
yeah.
Man, there's just an energy surrounding this team. When you hear them in interviews, you sense that they really care about each other as teammates. There's a culture that they're a part of, and they just win.
Yeah, you know? It was a rough start going 0-2 coming out the chutes. I mean, nobody thought we were going to beat Oregon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a go pick up your check from Phil Knight. Thanks for coming and playing out in Oregon and getting your teeth kicked in. Fortunately, we didn't get anybody hurt. That's the only thing you can hope for going into a game like that. But then coming back, and I feel like we squandered an opportunity to beat South Dakota State. We just gave it up in the overtimes, and we should have won that game, but we didn't. So to go 0-2 and lose to South Dakota State, you know, you didn't know what to think. And, man, did they course correct after that,
yeah,
and shored things up. And what I think I'm so proud of being an alum and a diehard Bobcat fan is the way that Coach Vegan has built that team with Montana kids. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the Dowlers. Taco Dowler is a phenomenal player, made probably the most monumental play of the entire season. His brother, Caden Dowler, both of which from Billings, by the way, Caden Dowler was the Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year, first team All-American. And that kid has made play after play after play after play on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to watch what Montana State has built with Montana kids.
Yeah, yeah. If you really look at that roster today, it has a lot of Montana in it, but it also has a lot of Montana in the leadership.
Yeah.
Positions, and that's that sense that where I mentioned that you can feel that they really care about each other. You just feel like, hey, let's do this for the state of Montana, and there's just so much pride right now.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Ty, appreciate you being here. Ty, why don't you tell us where people can find you at Allied Investment?
Our phone number, Scott, is 839-2037. Website is at alliedinvest.net. Locally owned and operated, and built to stay that way. We have about $1.5 billion in assets under management, so we're not going anywhere. Really appreciate the time with you, Scott. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Ty. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Montana Talks.
Stay with us for more Best of Montana Talks.
Molly, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. when stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out, because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.